Let me just tell you where I'm going in this seminar. I'm going to focus on three things at the top of page four. And by the way, if you miss any of the fill-ins, just copy off your neighbor's paper. It's fine to do that. It's not the SAT, you know, so you can copy off your neighbor's paper. Most of the fill-ins are pretty short, but this section on page four is actually a little longer than normal. So this seminar focuses on number one, determining my theology of ministry. Determining my theology of ministry. There's a lot of sloppy thinking out there when it comes to theology of ministry. And most theologies of ministry are determined more by tradition than they are the New Testament. So we're going to focus the first section on clarifying your theology of ministry. It's the only seminar that I have in the eight systems that talks about theology, but theology really does dictate a lot when it comes to how do you help people become servants. Secondly, we're going to talk about how to mobilize people to serve and keep serving. So how to mobilize people to serve and keep serving. So we want them to serve once, that's true, but we don't want to develop just temporary servants, we want to develop lifetime servants. And so we want them to serve for the rest of their life. And so how do we do that? And we're going to talk about that just a bit. And then ultimately, this seminar focuses on helping people become more like Jesus Christ. Helping people become more like Jesus Christ. So I'll repeat those for you. First, the seminar focuses on determining my theology of ministry. Secondly, how to mobilize people to serve and keep serving. And third, helping people become more like Jesus Christ. Now, hopefully you've got all that down. So look at the bold text in the middle. This is me defining the system. Some of you probably could care less about this, but for those of you that really like this kind of stuff, here's where we're going to do. The ministry seminar is an ongoing system. So it's an ongoing system. It's not a system that starts and stops. It actually has to go every week. As long as you're having church, you need this system. It's an ongoing system that motivates people to serve for the first time and then mobilizes them for a lifetime of serving. So it starts with the first serve opportunity and it ends with basically when people die, the lifelong serving. And so therefore it impacts, and I said this earlier, but it impacts every other system in your church. And so it's a very important system. So we're going to look at four steps to an effective ministry system. And if you've seen this before, you know that most of my seminars are based around four boxes. It's an old strategic concept that if you have more than four sort of major objectives inside of any strategy, it's too large. It's unmanageable. So I divide this up into four, and this will be the guide for our time for the rest of the day. So the first thing we're going to try to do is we're going to clarify my theology of ministry. Now, I say that. I'm actually just going to give you some starter points in helping you clarify your theology of ministry, because obviously there's all kinds of churches in this room, all kinds of denominational backgrounds represented. But I want to begin the conversation of helping you clarify your theology of ministry. And so it says in your notes under number one, a clear theology of ministry is the more important, should be most important. clear theology of ministry is the most important factor in an effective ministry system. So that's what it should say. It's very important that you clarify that theology of ministry. Second thing we're going to talk about is how do you create, I'm a recovering Baptist, so they all start with C, just so you know. How do you create first serve opportunities? How do you create first serve opportunities? So how do we get new people into what I call the ministry lake? You can call it whatever you want, but we've got to get people into this ministry lake. And this is the key to expanding your ministry system. New blood is always the key. You got to get new people involved, new people engaged. So we're going to talk about that. Then number three, we're going to cultivate, once we get them in the, is it C-U-L-T-I-V-A-T-E, we're going to cultivate a ministry ladder. And I'm going to introduce this concept to you. This is probably one of the most popular concepts that I talk about in the coaching networks, this idea of a ministry ladder. And I mentioned this recently in a podcast that we did, and I got all these emails like, you got to tell me more about the ministry ladder. So I'm going to try to unpack this ministry ladder to you. Because you get them into the lake, you get them serving, and that's sort of the first step on the ladder. And then we want to move them up the ladder so that they continue to serve and they continue to grow. Because we're going to see that ministry is part of discipleship. And so moving people up the ministry ladder is the key to growing servants. So we don't want them to just stay, you know, at the lowest level possible. We want them to keep moving up the ladder, or we want them to find their place where they can serve continuously and be happy there. Because not everybody has to climb up, but they need to continue to grow up in that. And then number four, something we don't do enough in the church is we need to celebrate and reproduce servants. So we want to celebrate and reproduce servants. And I've got a great section here at the very end today on how do you thank volunteers. And the reason I can tell you that's going to be great is because it's not my formula. It's actually from one of my mentors, Steve Stroop. He has a great teaching that he's allowed me to teach you today on how do you celebrate and thank volunteers. And so that's going to be coming up toward the end. But we're going to talk about that. So how often do you celebrate? How do you get them to reproduce? And how does that go? So is everybody's good on the flow? This is what we're going to do. Clarify theology, create first serve opportunities, cultivate the latter, and then celebrate and reproduce servants. So that's where we're headed. And we are off and running. So let's talk about clarify my theology. This is the most heady part of our discussion, but hopefully you'll be able to stay with me. So we'll see how it goes. Clarify my theology. You've probably seen this quote before. Every member is a minister. How many of you have a quote like that or something like that as a core value at your church? Let me see your hands. Okay, it's most everybody. We all have that. You know, every member, a minister. And so we all talk about that, but how do we really do that? Now, in some churches, they focus really hard on the minister part of it. And so it's all about the minister part of it. And it's very heavy training, and there's a lot of systems to get people involved in ministry. And so they really focus on that. In other churches, it's about the member. You know, you can't do anything at our church unless you're a member. And so it's every member is a minister. You know, we have that terminology at our place as well, but I actually believe it's every attender is a minister. You know, that's kind of how we believe it. So a proper theology of ministry, in your notes, a proper theology of ministry will rapidly expand your ministry system. So a small theology of ministry, and that was my nice word of saying a bad theology of ministry, or an unbiblical theology of ministry, and not so much even an unbiblical. Most churches have a biblical foundation for the theology of ministry. It just doesn't go far enough. It's like a small theology of ministry will dramatically constrain your ministry system. And I think you believe this, but here it is. Theology determines convictions, calls to action, and confidence. And so once you have a proper theology, then you're going to have deeper convictions about ministry. You're going to be more likely to call people to take steps of faith and steps of action, and you're going to do that with more confidence in doing that as well. Now, I realize I'm treading into difficult territory here because I think in here we would agree on the basics. You know, Jesus is God. The Bible is true. You know, we would agree on these basic things, but obviously I'm going to try to push some hot buttons here for you just a little bit when it comes to this theological foundation. So even if you disagree with me in the first section, I still think you'll be able to find a lot in the other three sections. So you don't have to buy into my theology of ministry. I'm just going to try to get you to serve or get you to think about this and about how people serve inside of your church. So let me walk and wade into some of this dicey discussion. Here's number one of the eight theological foundations for an effective ministry system. Number one, ministry means to serve. That's what ministry means. I just want to make sure I define that. And sometimes we confuse people, by the way, when we say you need to get involved in ministry. They think they need to be ordained and become a pastor. You know, I get paid to be good. I need volunteers who are going to be good for free, you know. I don't necessarily need a bunch more ordained servants at the church. I need just regular people who are committed to serving. And so even the name ministry sometimes can be very tricky. Every member a minister. Well, you know, does that mean I have to be a pastor? Does that mean I have to go on church staff? Do I have to go to seminary? So the first thing we have to really teach our people is that ministry simply means to serve. And that what we're calling you to do is we're calling you to serve God by serving Christ through the local church. And so first thing is about serving. Secondly, serving, to define what that is the act of putting the needs of others before my needs. It's the act of putting the needs of others before my needs. Now, I'll put that for you in your notes. But you know, you have to preach this. You have to teach this, that it's about selflessness instead of selfishness. And by the way, I actually believe the greatest sin in the local church is not necessarily the sin of lust, although I think that's pretty pervasive. It's not even like the sin of anger or any of the other seven deadly sins. I think the greatest sin in most churches is selfishness. Selfishness. I talk about this a lot in other seminars, but the most unselfish thing a church can do is to grow. Do you know that? The most selfish thing a church can do is not grow. Because when a church says, I'm not going to grow, I mean, that just makes it easy. You know, we just kind of keep things going the way they are. We don't really rock the boat. We just kind of stay stable. That's a very, very selfish thing to do. And unfortunately, when it comes to the ministry system, not just in the whole of our church, but we have a lot of selfish people there. You know, they don't want to give up their position because that's would be a very selfless thing to do. They don't want to train other people because that would be a selfish thing to do. They want to be selfish because it's comfortable. It's consistent. It's not great. It's not exceptional, but at least it's comfortable. And so we've got to really teach this idea of putting the needs of others before people. So let's read Matthew 28:20 out loud with great enthusiasm. Are you ready? Start with four. Here we go. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. So if Jesus is our model, he came not to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So one, giving up the need, their needs for the sake of the many. And so it's about serving. It's about putting the needs of other people before my own needs. And by the way, this starts with you. It starts at the top. Rick Warren used to say, once you've been at a church for more than 2 years, the church takes on your personality. So if you go to the Journey these days, everybody's good looking, they're outgoing, they're selfless, you know, because we're a 7-year-old church. So, you know, they took on my personality as part of that. But that scares me, you know. He used to say all the time, if you want to take the temperature of a church, put the thermometer in the pastor's mouth. Isn't that true? So if you want an evangelistic church, pastor, you have to be evangelistic. If you want a selfless church, you have to be selfless, you know. So I have to model that, and you have to model that as well. So how could you model that? How can you model putting the needs of other people before my own needs and model this Christ-likeness? So therefore, number three, the goal of the ministry system is to help people become like Jesus Christ. We said that earlier, but it's become like Jesus Christ. That's what the goal of the ministry system is all about. We want to create people who are little Christ. That's what the word Christian was about. You know that, by the way, in the Church of Antioch, that was originally a term of derision because they were running around being Christ-like. And so the world, the culture said, what are you trying to be? Are you trying to be little Christ? Are you trying to be Christians? And that's what the word Christian, it was really originally a term of derision because they were so trying to be like Jesus that the Antioch culture said, oh, you're little Christ. That's what you are. Now we carry that as a badge of honor. Actually, it doesn't really mean a whole lot anymore, the word Christian. But some cities it does. It still does in my city. But a lot of places, you know, the word Christian just means American. But what we're trying to do is help people become more like Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you to read this out loud. But Romans 8:28-29 has a lot of theology in it in and of itself. But let's just focus on the part we can all agree with, which is, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and he gave them right standing with himself, and he promised them his glory. So back up in the first line, he chose them to become like his son. God chose us and called us to himself so that we would become like Jesus Christ. So the measure of an effective ministry system is not how many volunteers do you have, but a year from now, how many people are more like Jesus Christ? So is your church becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? And that's how you measure this as well. And so number four, the extrapolation from that is you cannot become like Jesus Christ unless you learn to be a servant. You learn to be a servant.